5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And welcome to another edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. This time around, it will just be me, Chris, along with Rob. Pierce is dealing with some stomach issues. We hope he feels better soon. Most likely, we will be back on Saturday for a full three-man set here. But we're here to talk wrestling. We're post Cardiff a couple weeks now. We're heading towards Extreme Rules. And some things happened over the weekend. Some things happened on Raw for Extreme Rules and also for Crown Jewel in November. And we're here to talk about that before, we travel back in time to the year 2006, because this is the Ruthless Aggression Podcast, of course. We'll start off with the news of the weekend, and that's that Roman Reigns, his next title defense will be at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, and it will be against Logan Paul. They did a press conference out in Vegas over the weekend, in which they made that match official. It seemed like that was being pieced together because Reigns was on Paul's podcast, Impulsive, and Logan sprouted the idea of him facing him, showed up on SmackDown, had a promo battle with a returning Paul Heyman, as well as Sami Zayn. And that's where we are progressing here. Rob, your thoughts on the whole matter? I know you had one opinion that is pretty like-minded and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the people on SmackDown. I mean, obviously it would be nice if Roman would take the belt to Raw once in a while and, you know, defend against someone from there. But, you know, you look at the people on SmackDown. And, you know, your options are, Karrion Kross or Braun Strowman right now. So, I mean, you know, of the three, you know, you'd throw Logan Paul in there. He's definitely the best option of the three. It won't be a bad match by any means, I don't think. You know, Logan Paul had probably the third or fourth best match at WrestleMania and then probably the third or fourth best match at SummerSlam as well. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's inoffensive. It's fine, you know. It's not something I think worth spending the next 2 months, you know, being mad over that, you know, Roman's facing him instead of one of the other two guys I mentioned who are not good, so.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, I don't know what folks were expecting, especially after Drew. They're definitely going to bide their time here. And one way that they're going to bide their time with Reigns' title reign, no matter what happens at Crown Jewel, he's most likely retaining. I would say better than likely to retain. One thing that's happening in November to help bide time with his title reign and also just in general add some much-needed flavor, appeal, and zest to Survivor Series is the arrival of War Games. The Ringer broke the news on Monday morning that War Games is no longer just an NXT thing, and frankly, in my opinion, should only be a main roster thing, but that's one man's opinion here. Yeah. There's going to be two War Games matches this November in Boston at Survivor Series, which of course means that there's going to be one for the men and one for the women. No doubt will feature the Bloodline for the men. Mm-hmm. Almost no doubt will feature Damage Control for the women.
Yes.
Frankly, this was something that I, in July, after Damage Control arrived, even, had said, hey, you know, because of the guy who's in charge now, War Games is something that can happen. And 2 months later, voila, it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's exciting. You know, we'll wait and see as we get closer who the actual pieces are.
Like, yeah.
4-on-4, 5-on-5.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's something different. We obviously haven't seen it on the main roster. And, you know, another win for WCW.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, even though we don't have, you know, the pieces put together, you can obviously put in Roman, the Usos, and Solo. Assuming that they get rid of Sammy by then, Sammy will be on the face side.
Yeah.
So that's like five dudes in there right there. And if it is 5-on-5, because I think, honestly, when it comes to this, I do wonder if this whole appreciate the past and look towards the future as well is something that's going to blend in, not only just with NXT having their, you know, logo be white and golden now after, you know, the paint stuff and like that. So I wonder if they look to Survivor Series' past of the 5-on-5 matches and have it be five people in these matches. Now, like you said, long way to go. I think the rushing for fantasy booking was kind of crazy yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, when this broke, everyone was just kind of excited, but, you know.
It obviously turned into something bigger because nobody can handle themselves properly.
Yeah.
But I think for the women's side, you can pencil in Bayley, you can pencil in Dakota, you can pencil in Io, you can pencil in Bianca, and if she's ready, and I assume that she most likely will be ready, she's already working out pretty intently, Becky Lynch on the babyface side, so that's either 5/8 or 50% of the match if they go 5-on-5. I think that's a surefire lock.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of pencil in things from there. I think there's definitely a select group of people. For the women's side, at the very minimum, for the men, they have a much bigger, you know, pool with which to take from. But I think for the women, there is a significantly smaller pool of talent from which they can take.
Yeah.
For this, I wonder how much they will dig in, because this isn't going to be Raw. Because the other thing that they changed is that it's probably not going to be Raw versus SmackDown. They said it was going to be more ingrained rivalries as it is
now.
Yeah,
but the interesting thing about that is, like, it still kind of technically probably will, because, like, if the Bloodline's on one side, you know.
Well, Sammy's on SmackDown,
Well, I know, but, like, you know, Kevin Owens, I would imagine, would factor in.
They can use a spice blend there.
Yeah, probably.
That's probably for the best, too. We've touted the All-Star Game idea.
Yeah.
That's sort of the same thing. So I don't necessarily mind it if it's not that way, because it's not going to be Raw versus SmackDown for the women.
No.
There's no way you can pull that off.
No.
Because because I think of the women who are possible to join that match, it's pretty thin on SmackDown, at least. For the SmackDown superstars, Raquel, because she's obviously highly favored by everybody, and I think people need to accept that also.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like her, she's going to be highly favored. She's probably going to be someone who's going to be at least considered at a minimum for this match. And as a wild card, if she's not the champion, and even if actually she could be the champion, because there's not going to be any title matches at Survivor Series for the women, I imagine, unless Liv is involved there. Liv is a wild card to be on the babyface side, too.
Yeah.
Because of her positioning.
That's fair.
I mean, Ronda? No. I can't see Ronda factoring in. She's sort of a badass face, but I don't think she's going to be a heel.
Yeah.
Shayna makes no sense for this match,
because
she's a heel, and she's not joining Damage Control, and she's not joining their side. I know they... That doesn't work, and I've explained to you off the show why I don't think that works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but I think ultimately this is fun.
Yeah.
I think this is fun. It's something to look forward to, and it makes the event more appealing. And we've talked about it. Survivor Series needs that. It's needed that for a while. I think after 2019, it kind of overstayed its welcome. 2020, aside from Drew and Roman, forgettable show. Last year, could have done a lot better. Now they have something.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And, I mean, that's a good point. It's exciting, like you said. Like, it's something different.
It is.
Was necessary.
And it's such an easy fix, and it's such an easy victory, as we've been saying. That's all the regime has to do. Just little easy things. They don't have to be doing crazy shit every single week just to get everyone's attention. doing little things like this to inject some excitement in the product is a good thing. And another thing that is returning to television and going up to the main roster for the first time is the Fight Pit.
Yes.
Because Seth and Riddle, who are probably, you know, I obviously know Riddle's transgressions and whatnot, probably your two best workers this year, at least the ones that have been the most active,
mm-hmm.
and they're making the feud more personal. And I was wondering to myself, you know, okay, what is this next match going to be? Because they're obviously going to wrestle at Extreme Rules. So how are they going to ramp the intensity up?
Yeah, it's like,
the Fight Pit is certainly one way to do it.
Yeah, because, you know, they weren't just going to do Hell in a Cell again. And, no. You know, it's exciting to have that on the main roster as well. I think they've done it, what, two or three times?
They've done it two times. NXT, two times, I believe it was, yeah.
Because it was Riddle and Thatcher, and then Ciampa and Thatcher.
Yes.
I believe.
Believe two, so, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting. You know, it's... I'm a big fan of the Shamrock and Owen Lions Den match.
Yes.
So hopefully...
See, I was going to say, I wonder how they're going to do this. Because in theory, they could make it around the ring, but that's too much like a steel cage.
Yeah, it's really no reason to make it around the ring. Just have it be elsewhere. I mean,
you could just have it be elsewhere. They could also, if they want to format it that way, they could also have it be off to the side.
Yeah.
If they want to make it that small. But they could have it, but they could have it backstage or whatever.
It would be cool, like, you know, a really ambitious thing. You know, TD Garden's kind of like right above the train station. You just put it on the train station, on the concourse. People can go down there and watch. I mean, I guess you can't if you have a ticket.
Well, because
this
is in Philly. You're thinking in Boston. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
Survivor, this is happening. Yes. Yeah, this is happening in Extreme Rules.
I mean, Philly has a lot of spaces around.
Yeah, they do.
The
arenas
and stuff, too, if they want
to. Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they play it. Because I think there's a lot of ways that they could do it. I don't necessarily think having it be off-site is necessarily a bad thing. It's Seth Rollins and Riddle. I think those, you know,
it's tough.
Those are two engaging wrestlers.
It's tough for the live crowd, I guess, to watch a screen for.
It is, but they're too, engaging characters at least.
Yeah,
you can honestly say that for the live crowds, those are two of the most engaging wrestlers in that company right now.
Yeah.
No, I would think that that's fair.
Yeah, I'd love to see how they do it. And I don't know... I haven't seen the configuration, but I think it's just a normal configuration.
It's really just a normal configuration. It has like a... There's a skywalk or catwalk up on the top.
No, I haven't seen the configuration for the tickets for...
I think it's just a normal configuration for the seating chart, so...
Yeah.
I know they're going to obviously have to do some movements there with... War Games coming to Boston, because they obviously didn't play their hand with that, so hopefully everyone is okay with that, and hopefully people don't have to experience what we did, at the Horizon.
Yes.
Also, for Extreme Rules, real quick, Liv Morgan challenged Ronda Rousey to an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
I think that, I will pretend to not be that in the know, but I did hear that that was going to happen before it was announced.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that sounds crazy in hindsight, but, you know, anything, honestly, with most things with Ronda, if I say it, yeah.
Yeah.
I do know people close to that situation. Anyways, daring challenge for Liv Morgan, who I think is still steadfast improving.
Yeah, you know, she wants to be a fighting champion, and that's the way to do it.
I thought the people comparing her to Mysterio in 06 were fucking insane.
Yeah, no, that's not a good
And that's not just because we literally just watched that either. It's just like, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. No.
Also, but also, the other women's match for Extreme Rules was finally challenged on Monday night in San Jose. Bayley challenged Bianca Belair to a match at Extreme Rules for the Raw Women's Championship. I think two things. One, this is exciting. This is cool. This was obviously going to be inevitable, and Bayley was just waiting for the right time. And of course, the right time was going to be in her hometown after she just beat Alexa Bliss to get those demons out of there from 5 years ago, and after Damage Control issued a 3-on-1 beatdown on Bianca, took out Alexa, took out Asuka, and two, since Liv Ronda is an Extreme Rules match. Since Seth and Riddle are fighting in a Fight Pit match, That's two matches with gimmicks and stipulations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we get a third? And if so, what do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I don't know if Bayley and Bianca are going to have... You know, I saw some people say, oh, they should do the I Quit match since they never got to, but I don't
No. Listen, first of all, I don't think it needed to happen in the first place, and I was very critical of that last summer, and I will be critical of it again now. Neither of those ladies need to be saying, I quit anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's and the problem.
I don't know, like, you know, TLC match could have, because I don't think they're doing TLC this year.
No, they're not. That could work.
Day one.
That could work because it doesn't involve someone getting pinned.
Yeah. So that could be a good one.
I would say Cage, but they're going to fight in War Games, too repetitive.
Yeah.
Here's an off-the-wall idea for you. Because even though it's not quote-unquote extreme rules, it's a stipulation. They're going the Mind Games route, right?
Yeah.
So what's the best way for Bianca to be fighting at a disadvantage mentally in this match that Bayley could concoct? If she bans the KOD.
Yeah.
If Bayley bans the KOD, and I saw this idea floated around in a Discord last night. I think it was Meals who said it. Meals, you're awesome. He suggested that and pointed out that, you know, either two things. One, Bianca can blame it on the loss and go on from there with a little bit of struggle. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Or two, if she were to beat Bayley without using the KOD, sets her back a little bit, and makes Bianca look more miraculous. I think that works, because again, it's mind games. The whole thing about this has been mind games. Cage, it keeps them away, but you got to avoid repetition.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Seth and Riddle are going to be in War Games. Riddle might be on the babyface side. I don't know. Maybe he will be. I don't think they're going to be, so they don't need to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley and Bianca are absolutely going to be entrenched the next month. So I think they have to avoid that for now.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I had the pencil, that is what I would suggest, and that's what I would go through with. I would book a match between those two where Bianca could not use the KOD. And if she uses the KOD, then she loses the championship. She's not just disqualified because Bayley's trying to win the championship. So if she uses that, she loses, and she loses the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way you can do this mind games thing. In my opinion.
No, I can see that.
And banning a move hasn't been done... God, how long has it been since they've done a good ban move stipulation? The most notable one that I can think of was Michaels and Orton at Survivor Series 07. Great match, by the way. Really excited to get to that at some point.
Yeah, no, it's been a while.
And speaking of that, let's travel back in... Well, actually, do you want to talk Grand Slam?
Yeah, we probably should.
Let's chat a little bit about Grand Slam. So, on Wednesday, likely the day that you will be listening to this show... AEW is going back to Arthur Ashe for Grand Slam 2. I don't know if it's called Grand Slam 2, but I'm calling it Grand Slam 2 anyway.
Grand Slam 2022.
They should call it Grand Slam 2. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
What has this world come to?
Yeah.
that's a reference for anybody who's ever watched WrestleMania 2. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And the big main event, of course, is Bryan Danielson against Jon Moxley for the vacant AEW World Championship.
Not the interim one.
Not the interim championship.
The actual
AEW
title.
World Championship. So there will be a definitive world champion after this match, you presume.
Yes. And, you know, honestly, I think it's a good time to give Danielson the belt. You know, no offense to Moxley. I think he's probably been the best wrestler of the year, all told. But it just kind of feels like, you know, there's never going to be a better time to just give it to Danielson. Obviously, I think the end game is MJF getting it, and maybe you want to have him take it from Moxley instead.
So do a triple.
I mean, maybe.
Do a triple.
Like, maybe, you know, Moxley wins and loses at Full Gear and then gets to take the rest of the year off, finally, because he's supposed to be on vacation right now.
Exactly.
But, I mean, there's no losers here. I think it's going to be a good match. They had a good match, you know, when they formed the Blackpool Combat Club originally. I like that match a lot. I think this one, on the stage it's going to be on, is going to be cool. Yeah, really, don't care who wins, just looking for a good match, and that's kind of all you can hope for here. I think they've really done a good job kind of riding the ship the past few weeks. It was obviously looking tough for a little bit with everything that happened, but they've done a really good job just putting this card together, I think, and just in general, you know, people are watching, and it's a good time for them.
Swerve and Our Glory defending the AEW World Tag Team titles against the Acclaim. Do you think they give the Acclaim the victory?
Yeah, I don't see any reason to run it again if you're not just having the Acclaim to win. Because yeah, they probably should have just won it All Out, but...
right, yeah. Of course.
Crowd was hot for him.
Claudio versus Chris Jericho for the world title in Ring of Honor. I'm just finding out right now that this match is happening.
Yeah, it'd probably be Claudio, but it should be good. Jericho is...
Did Cesaro ever face Chris Jericho in WWE?
That's a good question.
I genuinely don't think so.
I remember, but, like, they were both there for...
They were both there. So, like, right, they were both there, but I think Cesaro's, like, main run started in 2012, but I think that's when Jericho started to taper off.
They had some house show matches. They had a match on Raw in... Actually, they had a bunch of matches on SmackDown, like, right when Cesaro came up.
Interesting. In 2013. Okay.
But then they had a match on Raw in... July of, where did it go?
14? 15?
Let's see, Monday Night Raw, June of 2016.
I have no recollection.
Yeah.
I don't even remember Jericho being around. Well, I remember Jericho being around in 2016, but I remember just him being with KO.
Yeah, so they opened the show, and Cesaro won by submission. So,
fair enough.
Yes, they wrestled a couple times against each other, but... You know, it's been a while, and...
fair enough.
Yeah, so... But yeah, that should be fine. I mean, Claudio should win.
Like, yeah.
There's no reason for Jericho to win. I guess it'd be kind of funny just for him to be the ROH World Champion.
Yeah, it would be funny.
But, yeah, Claudio should win. Jericho's actually been quite good this year. He's found it again.
Pac versus Orange Cassidy for the All-Atlantic title.
You know, it's always felt like Orange is a guy who doesn't need the title or whatever, but this one doesn't matter, and, like...
No.
It's not even really being defended in the way that it originally was going through. They did for a few weeks, but like, so if you give him this one, whatever, I don't think he needs it. I think, you know, he's going to be the guy he is. We have plenty of proof of that. You know, he's going to be the guy he is, regardless, but, yeah, that one could go either way as well.
Fair enough. I want to ignore this match, but unfortunately I can't. The interim women's AEW championship, the interim AEW women's world championship is on the line in a fatal four-way match. Toni Storm, the interim champions, defending against Serena Deeb, who pinned her last week in a tag team match, Athena and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. So before I say anything here, I would just like to point out that this match is happening for some reason, because after Serena pinned Toni, Athena, who was on the losing team, also got beat up.
Yeah.
Toni lost because Serena threw her into a chair set up by Britt Baker outside, from the outside in the corner. They were moving in slow motion. Britt beat up Athena. They beat up Toni. Jamie Hayter comes out, takes the chair from Britt, and hits Toni. And then they make this match out of everybody who was in that tag match, despite, again, Athena, the last time we saw her before this match, last week on Dynamite, she was losing to Jade Cargill in 5 minutes for the TBS title. And so they make this match, they don't even include the most over woman in the function right now. That's Jamie Hayter, who, again, was involved, hit Toni with a chair for whatever reason, did not attack or strike Britt. I don't know.
Well,
I genuinely do not know what to say.
No, I think the long-term plan is, you know, do Jimmy Hayter against Toni Storm. Like, I don't think there's any chance of Toni losing this match.
Look,
she probably pinned Serena, if
I'm
going to be honest.
My opinion is just like...
Like, I get they made her not look great last week, but...
It's just like, if you're going to just put all your eggs in the basket with Britt and even make Britt and Jamie more important than your women's champion when she's literally right out there... And then not even include her in the match? Please, just get on with it. Give Britt the title and just move on. Because I'm just genuinely tired of them wasting everyone's time. If that's what you want to do, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because eventually people are just going to catch on to the game if they aren't already and just tune out. Just get on with it. Stop making your... interim champion look like a loser. It's one thing to make a champion look like a loser. An interim champion who still hasn't, you know, beaten anybody of significance on pay-per-view or whatever? When she did was for an interim title? Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Again, I think she's going to win, though.
Of course she's going to win, but it's just like, there's empty calories.
Yeah.
Well, it's an empty calorie victory. It's as I said, because someone floated around, like, oh, what do you think of the booking of women who were formerly in WWE who are now in AEW? I said that they're at the 50-yard line with Tony, but they keep having back-breaking penalties on game-breaking plays.
Mm-hmm.
That is where they are with Tony Storm. They have the right idea. God bless them. They clearly want her to be someone of significance. Fine. Obviously, I clearly support that. But stop shooting yourself in the foot with self-inflicted penalties.
Yeah.
Stop getting OPI. Stop getting holding. Stop having delay of games or false starts. Enough.
Yeah.
Get on with it. Throw the home run ball and just run with it.
Yeah.
Enough.
So that's
highlights from Rampage, a 2-hour show.
Yeah, Action Bronson has a match.
Yes, he's teaming with Hook, right?
Against 2.0.
That's right.
Some people thought it would be Taz and Hook, which would have been pretty cool, but Action Bronson would be cool too. I mean, he appears to be in pretty good shape, and we've had kind of an influx of celebrities really taking it seriously and having pretty good matches lately, so really looking forward to that one. Sting's in action, teaming with Darby against House of Black. That should be fun. Sting matches are always delivering at this point. They're finally running Kingston against Guevara. Hopefully Eddie Kingston gets a big win in New York.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Deserves that.
I don't understand this one.
There's a golden ticket battle royal for a future AEW World Championship match, which
kind of defeats the purpose of MJF winning the chip.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way. There's a way to do it where, you know, a guy like Lance Archer, whoever wins the Battle Royal, and then you run him against Mox or Danielson just on, like, a TV.
Couldn't you, in theory, just make it for a future title shot? You've got, like, 5 belts in the damn promotion.
Yeah, but
it could be for anything.
Why wouldn't you go for the...
Right, the but big one? I understand that, but don't run counter to somebody who's already trying to cash in something, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You can't... I don't. That would be like WWE having 2 money in the banks. You can't do that.
No.
He won the casino battle royal. No, he has the title shot. If you want to do this golden ticket thing, fine. But also make it seem miraculous.
It's not really any different, though, than like the money in the bank holder holding it past the Rumble, though. Because then you still have 2 people guaranteed title shots.
Not really. But how often does that happen?
Well.
It doesn't happen that frequently.
I mean, part of the reason I think this is happening.
But I think it's the bad thing here is just because MJF is the one who has the chip. If it was someone who was maybe like a mid rising up, fine. But you have that on a bona fide star. So what are you trying to accomplish other than a match you could just book if you wanted to by having somebody just get some TV victories?
Yeah.
That's my thing. If you're going to do this golden ticket thing, make it universal for any title shot.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the battle royal isn't really the problem. The problem is just the timing of it.
No, that's fair.
You can't convince somebody that whoever's going to do this is going to crash the party. Like, no, we know MJF needs to be champion.
Yeah.
So, and if they want to set it up for that later, fine. But then it's like, okay, why did you let that person beat them to the punch?
No, that's fair.
Because also I can say, why did MJF let someone beat them to the punch? That's not smart.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Well, we'll see what
happens. That's my one gripe.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Jake Cargill against Diamante. Diamante's very good. It should be a good match. And just,
too bad no one cares.
Doesn't have heat, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, cares. Jade's going to win again. And
I mean, honestly, the TBS title is just a prop.
Yeah.
Nobody actually pursues that.
You know, Ray Phoenix and Jungle Boy, another should be a good match. Doesn't have a lot of heat behind
it. I'm surprised Hobbs and Starks is on Rampage. And probably going to be in, like, deep hour 2.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes. It still has some juice to it. Some unfinished business after All Out.
Yeah.
And then Wardlow and Samoa Joe against Tony Nese and Josh Woods. Like, yeah, it's cool that Wardlow and Samoa Joe are teaming up, I guess. They're going to get a quick win. But, you know, it feels kind of strange that you can't get FTR on the show somewhere. But what are you going to do? All in all, Dynamite and Rampage should both be pretty good. SmackDown should be pretty good this week. They got Roman's back, and they're doing the Brutes against the Usos, and Braun Strowman against Otis, which I'm actually very excited for.
I imagine some follow-up from from Damage Control being on SmackDown also. So. They're just going to keep being on every show, and I'm going to keep and I'm going to end up wanting to go to SmackDown in St. Louis on the 28th. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although I will say, for those who don't know, the premier person in the ads for SmackDown in October is not Roman Reigns, it's not the Bloodline, it's not Ronda Rousey, it's not Charlotte Flair, it's not the Street Profits or the Usos. It's Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
She's the person
yeah,
that they're putting front and center in that ad and then saying the Street Profits are facing the Usos in a dark match afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, just so y'all know, Liv is out here.
Yes.
That's great. We love to see that. Let's go back in time,
well,
though.
Well, before we actually, do that, should we discuss this White Rabbit lore? It seems as though the Fiend Bray Wyatt will be making his return. They seem to have actually licensed a song for once, a pretty good song. And it seems like it's going to just be for him. They want you to think it's going to be for Karrion Kross, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know, man. Like,
I'm happy for his fans, okay? I just am.
There's a bit of a concern because I think his last match, he didn't work a match after Mania, did he?
No, but...
So he hasn't worked in 18 months and, you know, he wasn't in the best shape.
I've heard the whispers that he's actually gotten himself into better shape.
I mean, again, I don't want to do the body shaming thing.
I know, but with conditioning, with a thing that you're doing for 300 days a year, you do need to be in tip-top shape. But
I mean,
listen,
it was very clear when Alexa was hitting his finisher better than he was that, you know, there's something wrong.
Yeah, I think so, but I think that also...
Listen, here's the thing. Even if he's not that good in the ring, there's so few guys...
Have connections.
Guys specifically, because there's plenty of girls
in
the roster that do. But there's so few guys that actually have some sort of connection with the crowd and... You know, he's another main eventer. We kind of had this whole talk when Cody came back. Like, it's cool in that regard. And maybe, you know, with someone different in charge, things can go a little better.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I mean, and he wasn't exactly treated well on his way back.
No, and I mean...
Towards the end there, it kind of got a little weird.
We'll see, I guess. I mean...
It feels like he was being punished. That's not right.
No.
I get it.
I think at the very least, you know, he won't be in a 6-month feud that no one knows the direction because it didn't have any sort of payoff at any point, including when it ended at WrestleMania. So that.
Oh, the Orton thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
so that should be better.
I don't think, yeah, that should be a lot better. Everything should be a lot more cohesive.
You know, hopefully it goes well. I don't know. I mean, they brought.
I think it will.
They brought Braun Strowman and Dexter Lumis and Karrion Kross and Hit Row back. It's not like he's and any worse than those guys.
And nothing is. Nothing is dissolved. Everything is still going up.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of like when I say, "Oh, they're going to bring Gallows and Anderson back," which I think even more now after Styles is tied in with Judgment Day now. But yeah, they just brought Hit Row back. Like they'll bring whoever back. It's fine. Like, and that's no offense to Hit Row. I guess they're not very good.
No, I get what you're trying to say. If they're willing to bring someone like Hit Row back, who barely made an imprint. Then they would probably bring somebody who, like Bray Wyatt, who was with the company for almost a decade.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, again, like you said, like, maybe he's not for you, and that's fine. But he has a strong fan base, a legitimate connection. The live crowds love him. I think that while the spookiness is helped by not having a crowd there, because there's a lot more you can do in terms of television editing, the live crowd reactions to him are always on point. And I think that judging him based on the kind of crap that was going on, I think everything is looked at in a bigger lens now that we know that the person in charge probably shouldn't have been in charge.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Alexa might be with him again. I don't think that's going to happen. I think she probably...
Well, I think she's on borrowed time as a babyface, but yeah, I don't know if she's going to be around Bray. Right. And if she is, okay, whatever,
I think
fine.
She's
going
to end up
whatever
with Damage Control, to be honest with you, which...
Brother, that would be crazy. I don't know if that's going to happen. I can see a situation where she basically turns into Dakota in 2019 and just kind of leaves the baby faces hanging.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know if she's going to join Damage. That would be crazy. But I think you're onto something. They're going to start a narrative for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's not the old Alexa Bliss, which is kind of funny because I'm... Never mind. I'm not explaining that one.
But yeah, I mean, now we can go back to 2006 here.
Yes, if you'd like. Late summer of 2006.
Yeah, which we are into September now here.
Which means I believe that the college football season is starting
soon. Yeah, I didn't really see any big upsets. Going to look, you can real quick, but
yeah, I mostly know that.
I know Madden 07 has just come out.
Yeah, Madden 07 has just come out. That's correct.
Top five songs, Button Stays at 5, Give It Up to Me is up to 4, Promiscuous at 3, Crazy is at 2, and London Bridge is still at number 1. Top five movies, Accepted stays at 5, Beer Fest debuts at number 4, Little Miss Sunshine's up to 3, Talladega Nights is down to 2, and Invincible debuted at number 1. So, it's an okay movie. It's not bad.
An okay
movie. I said a couple weeks ago we would get more into it, because we do kind of have to talk about this at length, because Kurt Angle is done with the WWE until 2017. He's real beat up. He hasn't really taken time off in the past, since we've done this, really. I mean, he took a couple months off to be general manager, but then came back to the ring. He broke his neck, what, 3 times, I think, since we've been doing this, and just never really got it fixed.
Exactly.
And he's got a torn groin at the moment, and just trying to push through it. You know, he's talked about it on his podcast, but at the same time, he's also very addicted to pills, just because he's trying to push through everything, and that's been a story that's been told since then, at length. And it basically kind of just came to a head where Vince was like, you know, you need to go to rehab, or you're going to basically be the next Eddie Guerrero, more or less. And, you know, Kurt refused, said there was nothing wrong, and just got released. And I think the thought was that, you know, hopefully he's going to go get help. Unfortunately, he's not. Something I guess we'll get into in the next couple of months, because he's going to pop up elsewhere soon, and it's actually going to be very cool. And
yeah,
I think that TNA actually has a chance at this thing for a little bit. then they rush through the one match, and, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't, and I was thinking about it, like, I don't have specific memories, I think, of, like, this release happening, but it's a big deal.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah. I remember that whole day. I think I was at my, I think I was at my Nana's house. Sounds about right. And, yeah, I remember that whole thing happening. I was blindsided me, because obviously I didn't really know too much. I was still, like, a year into my forum existence. My message board posting years had begun. But yeah, no, it was a pretty big deal, obviously, because Kurt was such a big star for them for almost 7 years, right from the jump. And to lose him, he was a favorite of mine, so it kind of sucked, but I was just hoping that something good would happen for him, and I was obviously hyped when the No Surrender video played. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I know, obviously, he's been in ECW, and that's kind of been what it is, but he is probably one of the top 5 guys for the entire time that we've been doing this, you know, going back to 2002.
No, no doubt. No doubt.
You know, he had the WrestleMania, he faced with Kane, which that was what it was, but like, kind of once
Lesnar.
Yeah, once the
Eddie,
brand split started, he was like the guy on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a loss. We're going to definitely kind of realize that he's gone. It's going to especially be felt on ECW. But yeah, it's a bummer, and I'm glad things ended up working out for Kurt. I know he said the other day, like, he's got some memory issues now and stuff, and I know he's got new knees and stuff, and, you know.
It's a shame.
They did the A&E biography on him a few weeks ago, very good. If you didn't see it, go check that out. But yeah, it's going to be different.
It'll be different
for us as we watch this. It's going to get very strange in about 9 months, unfortunately.
And yeah.
Even stranger when they suspend 10 guys.
Yes.
But yeah, so that was a big news story of the time. I think the thought was that he was going to go to UFC.
Yes, it was. Yes.
That ended up
working out. Now that you say that, yes, that was what the thought was. Yeah. There were people who thought he was going to UFC.
He will also, next summer, end up in New Japan to get the title off of Brock, which becomes a mess, which we'll get into.
That's going to be funny.
Yeah. But yeah, Kurt Angle is gone from WWE, so that's kind of a bummer. But moving on, we got Raw from Atlantic City, Boardwalk Hall. Shane McMahon's here. Vince is off tonight, so Shane's in charge, and he's got some big ideas. You know, DX put Vince and Shane in danger last week, and You know, they ripped out a piece of Vince's heart. DX is going to be in action tonight, but no one needs to know who it's against until it happens. Edge came out, and he wanted some punishment or retribution for John Cena for throwing him in the Long Island Sound. And Cena comes out. He has a 3-year contract from Teddy Long to go back to SmackDown. He has no problem signing it. He just wants one last shot at Edge's title. If Cena loses, Edge can have Monday nights all to himself. Edge agrees, but he gets to choose where and when the match happens and the stipulation. And Shane says that Cena has a match tonight, so they might as well get to it. And you know what? I forgot this whole element to it, and it's very good.
It is.
It's a good wrinkle to the story.
It is a good wrinkle to the story. I love it. It's fantastic, honestly.
John Cena is in action against a returning Chris Masters. You may not have noticed Chris Masters was gone, but he was in rehab
for yes.
being addicted to pain pills, and for whatever reason they're pointing out how much smaller he is now, which probably not something I'd focus on directly. Clearly he's going through some stuff. I would probably yeah. not take shots at him for it.
God.
Jerry Lawler brings
Gee, I wonder who regularly. Yeah, I wonder who thought that was a good idea.
Cena got Masters in the FCFU, and Edge came out and hit him with a chair for disqualification, and then after hitting him with a chair, Edge got a ladder and then put Cena through a table. And the match at Unforgiven in Toronto will be a TLC match, a match that Edge has never lost.
Yes.
And Cena's never been in.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love all this. This is, I've been waiting, as I've been saying with this rivalry, and as we talked about for the SummerSlam show, I've been waiting
mm-hmm.
for this rivalry to get some ignition.
Yeah.
And one segment, in one 20-minute segment, it flew open.
Mm-hmm.
It's good shit.
Yeah.
It's really smart, really well done. I love the factor of Edge never losing a TLC match and having it be in his hometown, so he's going to have the home field advantage. It plants those seeds of doubt, and you need that unpredictability. So this is a good step. I love this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Carlito's in the back with Trish. Lita's been telling people that Trish is retiring after Unforgiven. He wants to know if it's true, and she says it is. They have a nice moment, and Randy Orton beats up Carlito.
Yes.
So that's kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, because Lita's obviously going to be facing Trish, so that's how the storyline's going to be starting.
Yes.
There was a paddle on a pole match. Who gives a shit? I'm sorry. Those matches stink. This is also at the Boardwalk Hall. Noticeably a great venue because of the aesthetic of it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the roof.
Yes.
It's noticeable.
Absolutely.
Need more arenas like that. Randy Orton wrestled Jeff Hardy in a number one contenders match for the Intercontinental title. This was a fun match. Both, I think, worked really well here. In the end, while the ref was distracted, Carlito spat an apple at Carlito, and Jeff then hit a twist of fate and hit the Swanton for the victory.
Yes.
So Jeff Hardy is the new number one contender for the Intercontinental title, so he is in Johnny Nitro's crosshairs.
Mm-hmm. Shane went into DX's locker room with some cops, one of whom was EC3, who has been in the news lately. And the other was Claudio Castagnoli, who has also been in the news lately.
Yes.
Different reasons. Shane tells them that they need to grow up, and Triple H finds that funny because Shane's father acts like a child.
Mm. He's not wrong.
You know.
Spirit Squad defeated Eugene and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. The tag titles. Umaga destroyed Eugene after. Johnny Nitro and Melina had a press conference about what happened to Mick Foley. It took way too freaking long. Nothing came of it. They didn't even focus on Carlito. It was stupid. I didn't care for this angle at all whatsoever.
See, I skipped through it, and then on the next Raw, which we'll get into, everyone just made fun of it the whole time. So I made
yeah.
the decision to skip through it.
You did, yeah.
JR,
I thought that was funny.
JR said that Kurt Angle's been released. You know, they want to see him back someday, which they will, just a lot longer than they think. Lita's in action against Mickie James for the women's title, and Lita gets a pin while holding the ropes. Retains, that makes sense. They're doing Trish and Lita in Toronto. And then it's time for the DX match. They are facing Regal, Finlay, and Kennedy.
Figure that one out after SummerSlam.
Yeah. Regal accidentally hits Finlay with a chair, and Triple H hits the pedigree on Finlay for the victory. Shane says to cut the music. He's got two words for DX. Big Show. And then Big Show and the other three beat him up, and then Vince comes in and hits him with a pipe. And Unforgiven, it's going to be McMahon's and Big Show against DX in a Hell in a Cell match.
See, I like the DX skits. I hate these segments.
Yeah.
These suck.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Vince beating somebody up with a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just dumb.
Yeah.
I need to see this Hell in a Cell match, though. Apparently it's pretty solid. I haven't seen it since it happened, because I haven't watched Unforgiven 06 in full in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's Raw. On to ECW from Reading, Pennsylvania. The next day, Paul Heyman opened the show. He considered ECW his baby in his life. He's never wrestled until tonight. And he's created a monster, and it's time to destroy it, talking about Sabu.
Yes.
Rob Van Dam wrestles Hardcore Holly in our opener. Holly went for the Alabama Slam, but RVD grabbed the ropes. Holly flipped him over the top to the floor. Holly brought in a chair. RVD countered, grabbed it, used it for DQ to get payback for last week.
Yes. Big Show's here. He's the most dominant athlete in the company. He took out DX at SummerSlam, and then again last night, he's going to do it at Unforgiven. Shannon Moore, still coming soon. CM Punk's in action against Stevie Richards, and the crowd doesn't really care about Punk, which it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But, you know. Punk gets the win with the Anaconda Vice. Keeps building up his wins. Matt Stryker comes out to do his dumb shit and fights with Sandman. And then it's time for Paul Heyman against Sabu, which does not end up actually really being a match. The Bashams attack Sabu. Oh, the Bashams are Heyman's security guards, by the way. I don't know if we've ever brought that up.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah.
It's the Bashams. You'll figure that out at some point. Big Show comes out and joins the beatdown. Then RVD and Hardcore Holly end up out there, and Heyman ends up winning. And just, I don't know. It wasn't very good.
No, it was not. And was that ECW?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we get to SmackDown, I know we're doing 2 weeks. Do you want to do... I'm going to let one sports fact out here, and then we'll talk about... college football opening up after SmackDown. Did you know on Saturday, September 2nd, filling in for the injured Cleveland Indians defensive designated hitter Travis Hafner, Kevin Kuzminoff became the first AO player to hit a grand slam in their first career at-bat.
Oh, damn. No, I did not know that.
Well, there you go.
That's crazy.
Let's move to SmackDown, yes. Also from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Rey Mysterio's here. He hasn't really been himself this week. You know, in business, there's ups and downs, and last week was the lowest point in his career. Rey wants Chavo to come out and face him like a man, but Vicky comes out instead and says it's time to move on. Everyone wants to see her grieve for the rest of her life, but she's going to be the new business manager of Chavo because she's moving on. She slaps Rey and leaves with Chavo.
Okay. Honestly, so far, this feud's working for me.
Yeah?
It is. I like this stuff. Matt Hardy wrestles Gregory Helms. In case you didn't realize, these two know each other pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Both grew up in the Carolinas. In fact, I think they were both kind of part... Yeah, okay. Gregory Helms and Matt Hardy owned Omega Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
In 1997. The organization of modern extreme grappling arts. So these two obviously have plenty of history working with each other in the Carolinas. And I'm sure they liked working with each other at this point in time as well. After a pretty long match, Hardy got the win. Are we going to get Matt Hardy version 1 returning to claim his Cruiserweight Championship?
Yeah, you know.
It would be fun. I don't know if that's where we're going with this, but it would be fun.
It would be.
I would like to point out, I really did enjoy the making weight segments.
Yes.
They were always fun.
Kennedy's in Teddy Long's office. He wants a shot at the U.S. title. He's picked up a bunch of big wins lately, so he deserves it. And Teddy's on board, but it's not just going to be Finley against Kennedy. It's going to be spiced up a little bit, but we're going to have to wait and see what that means. In the meantime,
Miz
makes his debut.
He beats Tatanka.
Tatanka, yes. And then it's time for Kennedy against Finley, and Lashley is added to the match for U.S. title.
I'm not mad about that.
No, really good match for about 15 minutes or whatever they got. Finley and Kennedy were working together for a while, and then Finley turned on him. And Finley went to pin Lashley, but Kennedy rolls Lashley up and gets the tights and steals the win, so he's the U.S. champion now. Sure.
You know, I know people take aim at SmackDown from this time period. Some of it is deserved. The low on SmackDown is really low.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoyed the mid-card from SmackDown growing up watching this. And I still really... It's the highlight of the show. Anything that Lashley... Right now, Lashley, Finley, Kennedy, and Regal are doing, I'm all in.
Yes.
They're all really doing their part here, I think, of helping to bring this show along.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I'll give them credit where I think credit is due.
Vito beats Regal by countout when
He put his head under the dress. It was kind of silly.
Regal left.
This is the one thing that Regal is doing that I don't like.
Yeah. So. Jimmy Wang Yang is coming soon.
There's a lot of freshness on this show that I appreciate, too.
Yeah, it's good. Michael Cole interviews MVP ringside. Cole wants to know when MVP will finally be in action. Cole accuses MVP of hiding behind his agent and having no desire to actually get in the ring on SmackDown. But MVP says he can beat anyone and is not afraid of anyone. The Pitbulls are in action against London and Kendrick, and they attack right away. Noble goes for a powerbomb, and Kendrick rolls through, get the pin. Casey James comes out with Idol Stevens and attacks him after. The Pitbulls join in for the beatdown, so I guess we're going to have a three-way feud for the tag titles.
Yes, I guess so. You want to take it?
Yeah, Booker and Batista did a contract signing, and Batista put Booker through the title to end it. That was the end of the first week.
That was the end of the first week. So, that Saturday was the first Saturday in college football. Pretty pedestrian week as far as excitement. Not a lot of upsets. Tennessee did beat 9th-ranked Cal 35-18. So that was, at least by rankings, an upset. Notre Dame edged Georgia Tech 14-10. Yellow Jackets came real close to nipping the Irish, who were, like I said, ranked 2nd to start the season. Top-ranked Ohio State beat Northern Illinois 35-12. 4th-ranked Auburn, who I don't believe is going to be for long in the top 10 this year. They took care of business beating Washington State. Certainly one of the bigger games that weekend, I would imagine, as far as interconference matches. USC put up 50 and beat Arkansas 50-14. It's another Pac-12 SEC matchup, Pac-10 SEC matchup. Let's see. Oregon beat Stanford 48-10. Hopefully they beat Stanford by a similar number when they play them at 10 o'clock Central Time on October 1st or whatever.
Yes.
My God. Not much else in the way of sports. That Sunday, there wasn't too much going on. Louisville beat Kentucky 59-28. Michael Bush broke his leg in the third quarter after rushing for 3 TDs and 128 yards. That's brutal. Former Bear Michael Bush. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 39-12 in the Labor Day Classic in the CFL.
Damn.
And also that Monday, Florida State beat Miami 13-10. They held the Hurricanes to 12 yards, 1 first down, and no points in the second half.
That's pretty good.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we can get into week 2 here.
We can.
Starting with the music, which would be number 5, Still Buttons, down to 4 is Crazy, up to 3 is Give It Up to Me, down to 2 is London Bridge, and new number 1 song is Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake, which, yeah, it was kind of everywhere.
There was I'm trying to remember, there was a movie that When You're Gonna Give It Up to Me was in. Fuck. It was one of those, you know, when they had those dancing movies or whatever?
No, yeah.
It was a craze. Step Up. There we go. Step Up. There we go.
Yeah.
Didn't have a bad soundtrack, but yeah, that's where that was from.
Yes.
Good call. Want me to do the top 5 movies?
Yeah.
Okay. Top 5 movies in America this week. Going from 2 to 5th, was Talladega Nights. From 3rd to 4th, Little Miss Sunshine. The Wicker Man debuted at 3, making $13.3 million. Crank debuted with $15 million. And staying at the top is Invincible, which made $17 million. Bit of a drop-off from last week, but still up there.
Yeah.
Invincible, that was the Eagles movie, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we move on to Raw.
I don't know why that lost me for a second, then I'm just like, oh, that's what that was.
Yes. Labor Day in Atlanta. Edge is here to open the show. He's got a table and a ladder and chair in the ring.
I like the way that they presented this segment.
Yeah.
Fun.
Cena has no chance to beat Edge in Unforgiven in his hometown, the match Edge made famous. Edge shows a movie preview for Unforgiven featuring...
I love these movie previews, by the way.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And after that, Edge is still talking, and Cena comes out and hits him with an FU through the table and just dumps the ladder over on him. Good stuff.
Yeah, good way for Cena to get his comeuppance after last week.
Yes.
I don't mind it too much. I don't think Edge got really embarrassed. I think Edge got what was coming to him.
Yeah, frankly. Exactly.
He's acting like an asshole lately. He needs to be put in his place.
Yes. Jeff Hardy's painting a wall. Maria asks what he's doing. He says he's watching paint dry because it's more entertaining than Nitro Molina's press conference.
I don't know if it was a recent interview, but I read Maria used to really play up that her dumb character just so no one would talk to her. Because there was a lot of sexism and stuff like that in the locker room. So she was like, well, no one's going to talk to the dumb girl, so...
I mean, that makes sense. It does make sense. Considering, like, I know you're playing a character on TV, but considering, like, where she is now...
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, then, yeah, I mean...
Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. Jeff Hardy against Johnny Nitro for the Intercontinental Championship. Jeff has the upper hand for most of the match, but Melina distracts the ref. Nitro's able to counter the Swanton. Then Jeff can hit a Twist of Fate, but then Melina punches the ref and gets disqualified.
Sure. I mean, I wasn't expecting a clean finish in this one.
Yeah.
When they made this right away, didn't really sound off the alarm that he was going to win the IC title, so extend it for a little bit down the road. Why not?
Yes.
You move on. Trish challenged Lita for the title Unforgiven, then they brawled in the back because Trish confronted Lita about spreading rumors about her and whatnot. Also, Shane McMahon solved a problem for the main event also. Six-person tag. John Cena, Carlito, and Trish Stratus versus Edge, Randy Orton, and Lita. So Edge and Randy Orton are going to be on similar sides. This is a sign of things to come.
Yes.
Chris Masters wrestled new Raw superstar Super Crazy, who commentary said that his contract expired with SmackDown, so he's now with Raw. Good explainer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Super Crazy won with his moonsault.
Yeah. So now Masters is...
0-2.
Yeah.
On return.
Not great.
Not great. Vince and Shane are here and are joined by the Big Show. Shane warned them their pranks wouldn't be tolerated, and he showed them last week. Tomorrow night on ECW, Triple H and Shawn Michaels will face the Big Show. You're missing the point of WWE ECW, but thank you very much for doing that, I guess. Vince says that everyone was laughing, but now no one is laughing. Especially, eventually DX came out. Triple H said that it's been a long time since someone made them taste their own blood, and Triple H thanked Vince and Shane for reminding DX exactly who they are. They headed to the ring, but security cut them off. They fought through security, and Vince and Shane and Big Show retreated. Effective segment.
Yeah, it was fine. The Highlanders beat Cade Murdoch and Haas and Viscera to become the number one contenders for the tag titles, which I kind of thought they already were.
Yeah.
Maria's doing the kiss cam, and Ric Flair comes out to join unfortunately. In. And Umaga comes out to try and take out Flair, which he has already done in the past. So I don't know why we needed to...
Because Kane needed to come make the save, and they need to continue Umaga-Kane.
Yeah, that's fair. Then we get a vignette for Crime Time. I don't imagine any of this is going to age remotely well.
R.I.P. Chad Gaspard.
Yes. Teddy Long is here to watch the main event from the Skybox, because he lives in Atlanta, and he might have John Cena again soon, so that's cool.
And their answer to Monday Night Football next week is Vince versus Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're at the Garden.
You know what? I know that Triple H was not in a enviable position back then, and people hated him. Fuck. Their last two shows at the Garden, he's wrestled Vince and JR.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Throw Triple H a bone.
Yeah.
God damn. Making him work Tuesdays, too, with Big Show in the handicap match. Give me a break. That's really the best that you have?
Nah, it's not great.
They could easily solve this problem. Do DX and Cena against Edge and whomever. Find two heel... Edge... Okay. And Carlito and Nitro. Or not Carlito. Orton and Nitro.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Fuck. I mean, I know they have a good trio tag match anyway at the Garden, which we'll talk about when we get there. It is a fun match. But yeah, Jesus Christ, man. Come on. Help Triple H out a little bit. I'll be the one to say it.
It's time for Carlito and Trish and Cena against Orton and Lita and Edge.
This is a good main event.
Yes.
I love this TV main event.
Intergender rules, so the women can fight the men, but that doesn't really come up too often.
Until the end.
Yeah.
Dastardly Randy Orton snuck in the ring and hit an RKO on Trish.
Yeah, Edge was going to spear Trish, and Carlito took him out, and then Orton hit the RKO on her instead, and Lita pinned Trish for the victory.
Fun match.
Yeah, it was very good.
Really fun match.
Very entertaining.
Again, they could never do that now, but it was effective. Yep. It was an effective finish.
Then we move to ECW.
From Columbus, Georgia. When the hell do they ever run Columbus, Georgia anymore? Do they even run Columbus, Georgia anymore?
DX arrived at the building. Triple H or Sean said, you know, I think this is the right place. Triple H said bingo, which is very funny because ECW historically only ran bingo halls if you listen to WWE tell it. So really good nod there by Triple H saying bingo. Sabu and RVD are teaming up against Test and Mike Knox Extreme Rules match, but they have to tag in and out, which is very stupid. They did that recently in some sort of match, either in WWE or AEW, where it was hardcore, but they had to tag out.
And mm-hmm.
There's no reason for it.
Yeah.
It was dumb. It was SummerSlam. It was very stupid.
Yeah, it was very stupid. It should
have just been a tornado match.
Yeah.
Sabu triple jumps everyone through the table on the outside. Very cool move every time he does it. And then the finish comes when RVD does a frog splash through the table from one corner, and Sabu does a leg drop in the other corner, kind of simultaneously.
Oh, was that your first time seeing that?
Yeah, it was very cool.
I don't mean to be cheeky, but that's really funny that was your first time seeing that, because that was their signature tag move.
No, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, you should watch a tag match with them from ECW in the mid-90s. They do that a lot. It's pretty fucking awesome.
No, yeah, I'm going to check that out.
You definitely should. It was their very famous, iconic double-team finisher. It's good stuff.
Matt Stryker's here for his bullshit. says he's too smart to swim in the ocean with stingrays. Jesus Christ. That was, like, 3 days earlier. You can't say that. It might have been, like, the day earlier, the Steve Irwin stuff. I don't know why you would bring that up, even for heel heat. It's not great. Sandman chased them off.
Very bad.
Stevie Richards defeats Balls Mahoney. Kevin Thorne and Ariel were on commentary. Shannon Morris is the Prince of Punk and bringing Sexy back.
Punk called him a poser and slapped him.
CM Punk calls him a poser, slaps him.
Pretty funny.
Paul Heyman comes out, says DX against Big Show will not be contested under Extreme Rules after all, because, that wouldn't be fair. So now it's just a handicap match, and Heyman's guards take out Triple H, so Michaels left to fend for himself for a while, and then eventually Hardcore Holly comes out and attacks for the disqualification. So kind of a waste of having DX show up. I'm sure neither of them were particularly thrilled about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Since they were only on SmackDown, a combined... up to this point, Triple H and Michaels are on SmackDown. Michaels on once.
He
was a special ref in the pilot, which wasn't even a Tuesday, I don't think. And Triple H was on the Eddie show, which wasn't a Tuesday either.
Correct.
So you actually get them to show up and work a Tuesday.
You have them on this shit.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Damn.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. Okay. Let's talk about the NFL opener.
Yes, it's back.
In Pittsburgh. The NFL is back, in case you forgot.
We're going to have Monday Night Football to talk about every week. We're going to have the Chicago Bears game of the week every week, because 2006, they were allegedly good.
So they kicked it off in Pittsburgh, of course, because the reigning Super Bowl champion, Pittsburgh Steelers, opened the year, because they started doing the thing where the Super Bowl champion opens the year. But they looked a little different. Because Ben Roethlisberger got into a motorcycle accident. He was hurt.
Oh, yeah.
So, he couldn't play. So in his place, Lions legendary quarterback Charlie Batch.
Yes.
And the good news for Pittsburgh is that Charlie Batch had himself a good night.
He did.
Because Charlie Batch threw 1, 2, 3 touchdown passes. One to Nate Washington. One to Hines Ward, and then an 87-yard pass in the fourth quarter to take the lead to Heath Miller. And the game was wrapped up because Joey Porter picked off new Dolphins quarterback Dante Culpepper, who's making his Dolphins debut.
They didn't get
as
Drew Brees.
Quarterback because they didn't get Drew Brees because of the rotator cuff injury. So Culpepper threw a pick six to Joey Porter. Joey Porter Jr., by the way, is coming out of college this year at Penn State. Probably going to be a top 10 pick.
Also, the Dolphins are coached by Nick Saban.
Dolphins are coached by Nick Saban. That is correct. There's a lot of things going on here. Culpepper's debut did not go so well. He threw two touchdowns to... Did he even get two touchdowns?
No, I don't think he got any.
No, he didn't get any touchdowns. That's right. I was reading the wrong category. So he got no touchdowns. He went 18 for 37, 262, with two picks. Was sacked three times.
Yeah.
Those sacks came from... Let's see who picked them up. Two of them came from Porter. One of them came from fellow linebacker James Ferrier.
Yeah, there you go.
So, The Dolphins got their touchdowns thanks to former Auburn running back Ronnie Brown, who picked up two of them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was their only scoring besides a 26-yard field goal from Olindo Mare.
Another Bears legend.
Another Bears legend, correct. I mean, yeah, that's the open.
Yeah, so a little more NFL talk next week.
That game went 3 hours and 7 minutes. That's not too bad for an NFL game.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
We get into SmackDown, also from Columbus, Georgia. Dark match. Henry Godwin defeated Bull Buchanan.
What were they thinking? What was the logic there?
I guess they just wanted to see if either guy had anything left. They're probably both in the area.
That's hilarious.
Obviously, Bull Buchanan still kind of around these days.
Yeah, because Brooks Jensen.
Yeah, I know he did a guest coaching thing at the Performance Center a couple weeks ago.
I would just like to say that Brooks Jensen just definitely has the dipshit vibes that Bull Buchanan had, especially when he was beat squared.
Yes.
Booyah!
Yeah. We open with Finlay against Mysterio. I mean, pretty good match. You know,
pretty good, pretty good match.
Ray's kind of dealing with all the stuff from last week, and he doesn't get the win, and then after
That they're making the narrative that.
Yeah. Then after the match, JBL just kind of kept trying to interview Ray, and Ray didn't want anything to do with him, and, JBL said, you know, the Guerrero family is deemed Mysterio a piece of trash, and then Ray left.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's just not going great for Ray.
No.
Kennedy gets a win over Jobber.
Who was somebody from Deep South, it seems. And then afterwards, he called out Teddy Long and said that if John Cena comes to SmackDown, then Ken Kennedy wants to go to Raw. It's very interesting. They've got a little bit of a dilemma here now.
Yeah, it's kind
of
cool that, you know, they're making it so it affects more than just Cena and Edge.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good thread. And Teddy then booked Kennedy for a match with The Undertaker.
One-on-one with The Undertaker.
For the U.S. title next week. Or, no, I'm sorry, not next week. At No Mercy.
Yes. London, Kendrick, and Ashley beat Michelle McCool and the Teacher's Pets.
Yes.
Sure.
That was a match that happened.
Lashley's in action against William Regal. Very fun match. Vito's on commentary, and JBL left because there was a man in a dress. Not cool. No. And then Lashley gets the win. Regal's going to keep feuding with Vito, I guess.
He threatened a sexual harassment lawsuit. Not, also not cool.
Not the best use of Regal.
No,
but, you know.
Not right now. He should still be doing King's Court stuff. I don't know why they kept him out of that.
Is this a better usage of him than having him team with Dave Taylor, which is coming? No offense to Dave Taylor. He's just very old at this point.
He is very old, but I do like SmackDown's tag division at that point in time.
They are good in the Armageddon match, even though they both are afraid to climb the ladder, which is part of the bit.
It is. It is part of the bit.
And also, Joey Mercury's face gets crushed.
Yes.
The Miz gets another win. This time it's against Matt Hardy. Gregory Helms pushed Hardy off the top rope, so they clearly are doing something with it.
They did.
Going somewhere. Chavo gets a win over Tatanka. And MVP said that he wants what John Cena makes plus $1 for salary. You know?
I love the plus $1.
Yeah, he wants to be the top guy.
Really hilarious.
You know?
Like I said, this is pulling from diva wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good shit.
Yes. And then Booker and Batista in action for the world title. I thought their contract signing was for the pay-per-view, but it's not for right now. Okay, match. You know, Regal distracts the ref, and then Finlay hits Batista with a shillelagh, and that's how Booker gets the win. But and then they beat him down after, so it's not over, obviously. They need a structure to keep those guys out.
They do. I wonder what it will be.
And that is SmackDown.
That is SmackDown, and we will talk about college football next time, so we don't have to keep wasting your time here.
Yes, King of the Ring, joking, probably Kennedy, because
let's call Kennedy, because he won the title, and because he's bold enough to make a claim that he wants to go to Raw if John Cena's coming to SmackDown. That means he's important, and he's up in that pedestal. Let's give it to Kennedy.
Yeah, and that's it.
That's it. So, thank you for joining us here on this episode of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. You can check out all the podcasts in the Barbershare Network on Apple, on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud, of course. Follow everyone on social. You know the deal. And that's a wrap. So have a good one, and enjoy your nights.